will be taken out of 1 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at verse number 1, going to verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at verse 1, going to verse 13. As soon as you have it, please stand. The Corinthian church was a very gifted church, and they came out of a culture. Everybody can stand up, Sister Marilyn. You be seated there. Amen. You be seated there for me. They came out of a culture where it was a lot of gods, a plethora of gods, a god for the water, god of war, god of knowledge, and all of that stuff. And they were saved, and they came out of that stuff. They came out of that stuff. There was even idol worship, and there was food that was offered to idols. That was offered to idols. So they wrote to the Apostle Paul, and they asked him some questions. This was one of the questions. Should we be eating food that was offered to idols? And it is a matter of what you know. What you know. And real quick before we read the text. Love is important in the kingdom of God. Amen. Without love, the Bible says you're a clanging cymbal. Is the drum still on, Brother Dan? Yeah. It is?
Yeah.
I know. I'm at it again. Give me a little bit of volume. I'm coming, y'all. Just be patient. The Bible is quick to say, if there is no love, as disjointed as I was on the drums, you have become disjointed without the key ingredient to the Christian experience, which is love. Anytime we operate without love, we are clanging cymbals with no rhythm. There is no harmony. And without harmony, there is no edification in the body of Christ. Y'all got it, right? Without love, I'm talking about the agape love, which comes from who? God. Thanks, Brother Dale, for letting me use the drums there. They'll never be the same. They'll never be the same. It reads, now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence and that there is no God but one. For although there may be some called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and from whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things and... My computer died on me, you jerk. That's interesting. Lay down on me. Hey, amen, amen, amen. What was that here? Number 6. Yet for us there is one God, the Father of whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom we exist. However, not all possess this knowledge, but some through former association with idols eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will he not be encouraged? If his conscience is weak to eat food offered to idols, and so by your knowledge, this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died, thus sinning against your brother and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes your brother stumble, I will never eat meat lest I make my brother stumble. Our sermon subject today will be a true test of love. A true test of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 through 13. These are some of the topics that we will hit. Three quick topics, Brother Dan. Three quick ones. Paul addresses the church about food offered to idols, also knowledge and love, verse 1 through 3. Number two, Paul continues his teaching about idols and about God the Father. Number three, Paul refers to the weaker brother and their care for him, verses 7 through 13. Number one, now Paul speaks to the Corinthians about their knowledge of food offered to idols and its effect on their attitude, and in contrast, the effect of love. The effect of love. Oh, there it is. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 I won't be deterred. I won't be deterred today. You'd have to shoot me to stop me today. Amen. Listen. The weaker brother in the epistle was concerned that food offered to idols was contaminated. And his thought process was that is if a idol had some real existence. That's what's going on. Now, he had a weaker knowledge because he did not understand that really they don't exist. There's only one God, and that is God the Father. But there were some with the knowledge that did have that knowledge. And they were kind of running over the weaker brother. Listen, they were using their freedom independent of somebody else being crushed. Without the love of God, I'm not concerned about Brian at all. I'm concerned about, you know, showing you my gift. How well I talk, how well I preach. That's not true. But listen, I'm concerned about that. And if Brian, Philippians says, now if I have the mind of Christ, I'm now concerned with Brian's stuff over my stuff. They were running over the weaker brother. They said, listen, I got mine. You need to get yours. They weren't concerned about the weaker brother. But here at Trinity, that's not true, is it? We are concerned about those who are still coming up in Christ. And listen, if you think that you have arrived, you're in the wrong place. Because the more you know, the more you don't know. The more you're educated, the more that you know that you need to be educated. And if you think you're somebody when you're nothing, then you have the wrong thought process. They were running over the weaker brother. Jesus. But Paul tells them, if you love, love is really an action word, you all. It said, for God so loved the world that he gave. Since I love my brother, then I will relinquish my right to show that I'm it. I'm pointing at you now. Let me help you to be edified in the church. That's what I'm concerned with if I love the brother. That's why we need to be on our jobs with our gifts. God put gifts in people so that the body would grow. It's not contingent purely on the pastor. It's contingent on the people using their gifts. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 through 3. I'm out of breath. I'm getting old. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 and 3. Pastor, I know what you're talking about. First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. As soon as you have it, say amen. This is another instance. They were using the gifts, Pastor, in 12 to glorify themselves. There was no order in the church. Everybody's got a psalm, everybody's got a hymn. But the interesting thing is, a gift that is used not to edify is used in the wrong way. The operation, love is the critical portion of the operation. If your gift is outside of the spectrum of love, you're using it the wrong way. What happens when that happens is that you point at me instead of helping somebody. My gift is not growing you up. It's really shining the light on me. Why are you here today, church? Are you here today because your mother brought you to church? Or are you here because God told you to come today for a specific reason to help edify somebody else? That's why everybody who belongs to this church needs to be here. Because you are part of a body. And if somebody's missing, something's missing out of it. Okay. So, Paul is addressing another issue. They were using the gifts that they have independent of love. He says here in verse number one, he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a what? Noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I just illustrated that to you all in a very graphic way. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am what, church? Nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned and have not love, I gain what? Nothing. Nothing. The critical component, church, is the love of God. And it's interesting enough, if you have the love of God, then he knows you because he's on the inside of you. Paul again contrasts what a man thinks he knows as opposed to operating in the love of instead of operating in the love given by God. The apostle continues, the idols that the food is offered to don't really exist. Also, they are created beings in high places, but they are not God either. Not God either. There's only one God. One Holy Spirit, one Son. The idols that they were sacrificing. Listen, this is crazy. When men make idols, church, They make them out of gold and silver. Wood. Now, when they get in trouble, they have to pray to these gods that they have made to get them out of trouble. And the interesting thing is, if they made the God, shouldn't they know that the God don't hear and he don't see? That's what happened with sin. It has you doing crazy stuff like making idols, and they can't deliver you when you're in trouble. When my money runs short, my car breaks down, I got issues at the house, pastor. Those gods that I make, they can't fix it. But yet, that's what sin do to you. It make you crazy. You calling on things that can't talk, they can't hear. If you go to move them around, you got to pick them up and you got to move them. That's how crazy it is. Listen, we know a God who is God. He don't need nobody to pick him up and move him around. He moves nations around. Now, if he does that, what problem? Is there anything too hard for God? Nothing. Okay. Acts chapter 17, verse 22 to verse 25. Acts chapter 17, verse 22 to verse 25. What does God need from us, you all? Man. When you say nothing, that means that he got all power. Is that right? Amen. Nothing. Boom. Acts chapter 17, beginning at verse 22. Paul has to go. He's actually waiting on some compatriots. And he winds up in his temple, and they got all kinds of gods in Athens, all kinds of gods. They got all kind of idols and places and stuff, you know, to worship in front of the idol. And they have one that's called to the unknown God. To the unknown God. They are worshiping in ignorance what you all are worshiping in knowledge. Listen, you're not making idols out of gold and silver. You're worshiping the living God. You ought to be shouting. There are other things that are idols, pastor, really. I was, this week, we're going to read it. Give me a minute. I said something about big screens in Sunday school, you know, and the things that you got in your house and how they would tend to actually try to draw your attention away from what you're really supposed to be doing. They can literally become, what, idols. Instead of you worshiping God, spending time in the Bible, getting ready to do what you're supposed to do, you're giving time to an inanimate object. I had to speak to myself, John, today and say, brother, what you doing? What is your ratio of time in study and looking at the big screen? Which one is it? If you get in trouble, can the big screen help you? I don't think it can. They can give you a pretty picture, but it can't deliver you. And when it comes time to move it, Brother Allen, I got to pick it up and move it. I'm just here to tell you today, your trust should be in the living God. Oh, Jesus, I got excited. My trigger finger's working out today. Acts 17, beginning at verse 22. It says, so Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very, what, religious. And as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship,
I found also an altar with the inscription, to the unknown God. And what therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by who? Man. Nor is served by human hands, as though he needed anything. Since he himself gives to all mankind life, breath, and what? Everything. We'll move on. Again, he gives a true knowledge given by God, by whom all things were made and exist. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. As soon as you get there, say amen. True freedom, you all. A good definition for freedom, so far as in the Christian environment, is you are free to do those things that you are supposed to do. That's true freedom. Freedom is not, I just do whatever I want to do. No. That's chaos. That's not freedom. Freedom is when you're controlled and you're able to do what you're supposed to do for us in the kingdom of God. So if you're not doing what you're supposed to do in the kingdom of God, why not? You're free to get busy. I ain't got no stones yet, Pastor. I'm in good shape. Amen. Amen. It reads, verse 13, for you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the what? Flesh. But through love, serve one another. Colossians chapter 1. Whoa, I'm excited. Okay. Colossians 1:16. Thanks, Pastor. Finger messed up. Everything messed up this morning. Okay. Verse 16 reads, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all things were created through him and for him. Principalities and power, everything was created except God. Everything was created except God. If you have principalities and powers and authorities in high places, they're not God. They've been created by God. So why are you afraid? You're not afraid because you're serving the one who created everybody and everything. Why are you afraid? Stop being afraid. Get up and move out in Jesus' name. And trust God to do what he said he's going to do. In the care of the weaker brother, Paul says, all don't possess the true knowledge which brings maturity. Can I ask you something? Can we wait till somebody grows up? We ready to kick people in the behind if they don't move fast enough. You're not growing up fast enough in Christ. Who are you to point the finger? We need to wait on somebody. God waited on us, didn't he? If you think you something when you nothing, you better be careful. God has a way of kicking out the props, and he'll do it to get your attention. Yes, he will. If the love of God lives on the inside of you, the freedom you have will not cause your weaker brother to stumble. There are some things that I'd love to do. I was actually talking to my wife. I won't go on the boat and eat, Pastor, because I don't want nobody to see me on the boat. Not that I'm, listen, y'all, not that I'm gambling or nothing. Amen.
But if they see me, they say he a preacher. And they don't know I don't have to be gambling. I may be eating that fine cuisine that they got there. I'm there eating and they thinking, hey, he got to be gambling, really. So instead of doing all of that mess, I'm going to curtail that portion of my freedom so that nobody gets messed up. There are other instances also. If a weaker brother says something about drinking, Pastor, we don't drink because we can't handle it. Well, I can't. I'm sorry. I can't. I turn to somebody different when I drink. But anyway, and that's kind of hard to believe. If they don't understand that there's no law against drinking except drinking excessively, I don't want nobody to see me drinking, Pastor, because they're going to say, wait a minute, you ain't supposed to be drinking at all. Really? He doesn't have the knowledge yet. So I curtail my freedom until he gets there. My concern is about Eric. Not about Billy, but Eric. I want to see him grow in Christ, and I have to use my gifts so that he does grow. Not to make him stumble, but to make him grow.
Yeah.
I already read that. Let's read that again. It says, verse 13, for you were called to freedom. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 8. I need an excellent example if I am to live like I'm supposed to live. And God is busy providing me with those examples. The question is, am I listening? Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Is everybody there? Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 8. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing for selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, counting others more significant than yourselves. Listen, you know the Spirit of God got to be indwelled on the inside of you when I consider you before I consider me. Amen. Because this is what sin does. It makes me look at shine a light on me and not on Audrey. But if the love of God lives on the inside of me, what can I do to help you grow up in Christ? A whole lot of us still selfish, but God has a way of fixing that. Verse 5, for this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death. Period. Why? For you and for me. To the point of death? The love of God in Christ Jesus took him all the way to the cross for you and I. Now, if that's been done, what can we do? What can we do? The greater gift has already been given. Hey, conclusion. Everybody clapping their hand. Any knowledge we have not governed by the love of God puffs you up. What is that? You arrogant. You forgot where you come from. Listen, I'm going to tell you, God out, I already told this brother here, God saved me when I was out in the nightclub, Pastor. In the nightclub. He saved me. In the midst of all that mess, he saved me. And he didn't save me just to sit down and chill out. He saved me to get up here and give the gospel and tell the people, if you don't have the right knowledge, you're puffed up. And you're not helping out your brothers. When the love of God lives in others, others become more important than you. Okay, I'm through, y'all. It's been a rocky ride, but I'm through. God is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. He saved you out of the gutter, whether you believe it or not. I was always in church. I was a good girl. No. Sin had a hold of you just like it had a hold of me. And he saved you for a reason. Go tell what you know. I don't know how to tell the gospel. Tell people what he did for you and how he did it. And listen, don't let your life be a stumbling block. Don't let your life be a stumbling block. Let your life be an arrow that points directly to Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. Okay, I'm through and I'll come back.